Hello there, you Awakening Wonders on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you download your podcasts. We really appreciate you, our listeners, and want to bring you more content. We will be delivering a podcast every day, 7 days a week. Every single day, you'll get a detailed breakdown of current topics that the mainstream media should be covering. But if they are covering, they're amplifying establishment messages and not telling you the truth. Once a week, we bring you in-depth conversations with guests like Jordan Peterson, RFK Jr., Sam Harris, Vandana Shiva, Gabor Mate, and many more. Now enjoy this episode of Stay Free with Russell Brand. Remember, there's an episode every single day to educate and elevate our consciousness together. Stay free and enjoy the episode.
No, here's the fucking news.
Hello there. Get out of it. Hello there, you Awakening Wonders. Welcome to Stay Free with Russell Brand today on an incredible day that's created an incredible show. We've put together something for you that I think is going to knock your little socks off while you sip, presumably, from your Stay Free mug, enjoying access to the only freedom you may ever know because of the global corruption that we're truly beginning to understand now. We'll, of course, be talking about Super Tuesday. Of course, we're going to be talking about Nikki Haley dropping out and even using her retirement speech to sort of give a boost to the military-industrial complex, like someone on their deathbed going, remember, war is the most important thing. Goodbye. Remember me by war. War. It's like she honestly says stuff like that, as well as quoting Margaret Thatcher, British Prime Minister. We're going to be getting into that, of course. We look at Rachel Maddow's pick one moment, pick one, which essentially amounts to a kind of tyrannical urging to blindly obey Joe Biden, to pretend that democracy is simply the support of one candidate, as well as looking at Joe Rogan's recent spontaneous declaration that what we actually need is the return of Christ himself. It's a really, really interesting show, and I just know you're going to love it. I'm so happy to be doing it with you. Also, we're talking about new boosters and sort of new campaigns to get you boosted every 10 minutes. And the man who was having a vaccine every week for what he calls private reasons. What? If there's a reason other than I'm worried I might get COVID and I've bought into this crazy global propaganda scheme, what private reason could it be? Dig the sweater, Russell, says Galactic Core 88 over on the Rumble stream. We'll be giving you the opportunity to win a mug. We'll be giving you the opportunity to join us for some fantastic forthcoming conversations. I've just been speaking to Mike Benz, our Awakened Wonder community on locals like True Chimera and Juanita 952. May, were you guys there? Were you guys there for the conversation with Mike Benz? I'm telling you now, Mike Benz's revelations, even on the subject of Victoria Nuland, who's one of those shady apparatchiks, one of those individuals that exists behind the scenes. Like, while we're consumed by Super Tuesday, while it operates as a kind of media carnival, the most powerful individuals and institutions in the world are manipulating global events and ensuring that democracy is about the preservation of institutions rather than the electoral will of the American people. Also in the conversation, he goes as far as to say, these ain't my words. I don't have this kind of confidence. The 2020 election, he says, was rigged. We'll be getting into that. But we've got news that's even more revelatory. If you're watching us on YouTube, we're going to be there for about 15 minutes, all right? So, you know, you stay there while you can and enjoy it. But eventually, you're going to have to slip into the sweet stream of freedom, okay? Get ready for that. Or join us on the Awaken Wonder Chat, where there's even more advantages. But I want to give you this piece of breaking news right now. This is pretty incredible. So hold on to your hats. Hillary Clinton, get ready. Is there a drum roll? Can we even have a drum roll? Hillary Clinton has finally admitted, what could Hillary Clinton and admit to that you guys, let me know in the chat, what do you think Hillary Clinton's admitted to? Is it any, what could it be about? What could Hillary Clinton be admitting? Let us know in the Awaken Wonder chat. Hillary Clinton has admitted that Joe Biden is old.
Somebody the other day said to me, Zerlina, well, but you know, Joe Biden's old. I said, you know what? Joe Biden is old.
Whoa! You can do it. You can tell the truth. Now, there's a few of your former associates that I've got some questions about, baby. We'll get into that over on Locals. Have a look at this from Rolling Stones. The culture war continues to gather pace with the new Bud Light. It's Doritos. This is Rolling Stone coming on that. The right is trying to make Bud Light happen all over again with a Doritos boycott. Now, consider this. If it's the right that's happen all over again. Their opponents are, you would have to assume, the left. Well, this is the left that they're advocating for, because Doritos are one of PepsiCo's many, many properties. Whoa, look at that. Sweet lady socialism there in all of its forms. Walkers, crisps, things I've not even heard of. What's Tostitos? Who needs a Tostito? What's Pearl Milling Company? That's it, is it? That's the opposition. I mean, Dr. Pepper actually is delicious. I love that stuff. But the rest of it can go to hell. And the idea that this is what the culture war is about is, which big brand do you support? Hey, there's only one brand you can trust, and you know who that is. Let's get into the breaking news of this moment. News that's broken so recently, the dust has not yet settled. Nikki Haley, the Democrat's choice for the head of the Republican Party, has suspended her campaign in spite of that victory. And where did she win, Gal? Vermont? She won somewhere, didn't she? Well done. Well done. If you want to see Gareth, you join. If you want to see him, you join. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, Raz Bender, you lunatic. Right, let's have a look at Nikki Haley suspending her campaign. And let's see how she uses these final words. Because one of the things I've always thought is that politicians, often when they resign, you see for the first time a kind of humanity in them. Like as if they've had, you know, in The Matrix where they got that thing in the back of their head when they're in the little cell. Like when they, sometimes when politicians resign, they go, listen, it's all mental, it's pointless, what are we doing? We've been wasting our lives. We must awaken the divinity with it. Like that. There's none of that from Nikki Haley. She uses her dying words, politically at least, to advocate for more war. Let's have a look.
Good morning, I'm Whit Johnson in New York, and we're coming on the air in the wake of Super Tuesday because ABC News has learned Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley is dropping out of the race. She's speaking right now. Let's listen.
Was grounded in my love for our country. I am filled with the gratitude for the outpouring of support we've received from all across our great country.
It's not showing in the primaries, is it? What kind of outpouring is it where I can't win any except for one primary? The outpouring. Oh, it's been but I'm drowning in it. I'm drowning in this outpouring.
But the time has now come to suspend my campaign.
And face reality. People don't want me to be president that vote for this party. Nikki Haley, though, could be the candidate for the Democrat Party. Why don't you just do that? It doesn't make no difference. They're the people that have been voting for her, apparently.
I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that.
What? How? What? Which Americans? Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, all those great American war machines.
I have no regrets. And although I will no longer be a candidate, I will not stop using my voice for the things I believe in.
We all know what those things are. It's war.
Our world is on fire.
And you started it, and you're asking us to fund it.
Because of America's retreat. Standing by our allies in Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan is a moral imperative.
Whoa, she's going out advocating for war. It's like the opposite of the lesson that you're supposed to learn in life. You know, like even Darth Vader, when he got the mask off, he was like, I shouldn't have been such a bastard. I'm sorry. If I had my time again, I'd be much more Anakin. Not Nikki Haley. Give me that goddamn mask back.
Endless war. War everywhere. Escalate profitable wars. War between Ukraine and Russia. More wars. I just saw a Houthi. Kill him.
But it's also more than that. If we retreat further, there will be more war, not less.
That's right, because by continuing war, you end war in a literal Orwellian nightmare. In order to have peace, you have to have war. And I suppose an inadvertent consequence of this necessary war for peace is that Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, et al. All continue to make extraordinary profits. I just wonder if there's any connection between the interests of the most powerful institutions in the world and the current foreign policy of the countries that we live in and the wars that we fund. Let me know in the chat, who does she work for? Do you feel like she's made your voice heard? Let me know. Of course, there has been more impartial reporting on Super Tuesday from our friend over at MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, who continues the words of Donald Trump to be some kind of elixir, some kind of manner that if we are exposed to them, that we will become seduced. We will become like the lotus eaters. We will become like DMT consumers, we will be subject to some new dimension of consciousness, and it has to be cut off right there at the nub. First, there is the presumption that you're not able to watch Donald Trump and determine for yourself whether or not he is a true advocate for anti-establishment politics, or whether, having had one term already, you know to a degree what to expect. Forget the fact that they think that you can't be trusted to decide for yourself how to evaluate, for good or for bad, the values of a particular orator or politician. There's also the small fact that they have Nancy Pelosi on their show pretty bloody regularly, making all sorts of outrageous claims. Let's have a look at Rachel Maddow right now.
I read an article yesterday where it said this is one of the finest run campaigns that anybody has ever seen. That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. It's really a statement. And we have no choice.
Yeah, okay. November 5th, you know, it is, okay. I will say that it is a decision that we revisit constantly in terms of the balance between allowing somebody to knowingly lie on your air about things they've lied about before and you can predict they're going to lie about. And so therefore it is just, it's irresponsible to allow them to do that. It's a balance between knowing that that's irresponsible to broadcast and also knowing that as the de facto, soon to be de facto nominee of the Republican Party, this is not only the man.
It's weird, isn't it? Because during Russiagate, they seemed pretty confident in amplifying lies. It's extraordinary that the legacy media has such an agile and flexible attitude to truth. The New York Times, in their recent story that there are CIA bases inside Ukraine, acknowledged that it was something they'd been aware of for many years, but chosen not to report on because it wasn't convenient, and they were only reporting it, in fact, now, in order to drum up support for further expenditure on these wars. So the MSNBC's claim that they are kind of guardians of truth is extraordinary, disingenuous, and just untrue. When they have Nancy Pelosi coming on saying, for example, that Donald Trump is directly paid by Putin, no one ever asks, have you got any evidence for that? Have you got any proof for that? Do they? They simply take it as factual and as read, and they neglect ever to ask, how exactly have you made 10 times your salary in the last couple of months?
And who is likely to be the Republican candidate for president, but this is the way he's running.
Well, here's how we'll balance it. Yeah. Why don't we fact check the hell out of him?
Yes, and we do that after the fact.
We will fact check you till it hurts, but we won't be fact checking people that we don't disagree with. What an extraordinary, peculiar, oxymoronic system that is being advocated for. You know, I don't think that they are going to become more successful by censoring Trump. The person they should be censoring is Joe Biden. It's astonishing to watch the fact, to watch this poor fella unravel live. This is extraordinary. This is a person who knows they're on camera. Check it out.
I have a lot of questions. I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
Might not be enthusiastic because, of course, he's likely learned that there's been a lot of uncommitted, is it uncommitted or non-committed, they say, uncommitted votes. Like up to, in some states, 20% of their own electorate are unable to actively support Joe Biden. In the absence of other candidates, and I know Marianne Williamson, who I adore, is running, and I know there are other people sort of nominally on the ballot, and I know a guy in Samoa, which seems odd to consider that's part of America, actually, or won a surprise victory. But it's kind of odd, isn't it, that the concept of not being committed to someone is as popular as the person himself, poor fella. This is an attempt made by Joe Biden to engage in what we call badinage, good humour, and amusing conversational gambits. But you sort of get an idea of where Joe Biden's operating, because his reference is the Cookie Monster. He talks about shrinkflation, but he sort of struggles actually to get a real handle on Sesame Street. Can you tell me how to get there, by the way?
In fact, some of the small snack companies, you won't and think you won't even notice what they're doing. When they charge you just as much for the same size bag of potato chips, only has a hell of a lot fewer chips in it. I'll tell you who did notice, the Cookie Monster.
You're going to notice because that guy loves cookies. By the way, Doritos have got an interesting new ambassador. In the giddy, mad land grab for cultural collateral, people don't fact-check what they're dealing with, do they? They don't understand because they don't believe in anything. Do you think anyone at PepsiCo or Dorito cares about anything ideological other than the ongoing tyrannizing of American people and filling their diets with fat and sugar and filling their lives with cancer and diabetes and heart disease? Hope you don't take lobbying from... Yeah, right. Yeah, that is good, isn't it? I wonder how much lobbying money... That's Gareth sends me little messages sometimes. If Gareth makes points over there, if you want to see Gareth, you got to become an awakened wonder. He's Gareth making the point that Big Food, of course, makes significant donations to the Democrat Party in order to ensure that we don't sort of say, hey, you know what? You shouldn't actually feed children Doritos, no matter what side of an imaginary ideological divide they happen to operate on.
Point out his cookies are getting smaller, paying the same price. I was stunned when I found out that's what actually happened.
Yep, it's pretty stunning what's been going on with the Cookie Monster and indeed Big Bird, as he is often referred to as, is having his own challenges. Now, listen, if you want to get one of these lovely little mugs, they're on special offer this week. Look at that. We've made an asset. You can get one of these mugs at the moment for 25% off. Click the link there in the description. Get one of these things. In fact, we're going to give one away for absolutely nothing to the person who correctly answers this question once we're exclusively available to you on Rumble and over in the locals chat. And the question is, of course, this. How much profit did Pfizer make between 2020 and 2022? Was it $75 billion? Was it $5 billion? Was it barely any profit? Or was it no profit at all? Because as Albert Baller said, it would be inhumane to profit during a health crisis. Do you remember that? Do you remember when he said that? Let us know. Once we're exclusively on Rumble, we're going to be on YouTube for a few more minutes. Yeah, you awaken wonders in the chat. We'll give two mugs away there. We'll give two mugs away there because let's face it, they think we are mugs, dopes and dupes. That's how they talk to us. That's how they want to control us, whether it's not permitting us to see presidential candidates' speeches, whether it's censoring and controlling the information that we consume, whether it's lying to us about how wars actually started. Plainly, they think we're idiots. So many of you are getting the answer right, but of course, you need to get it right once we've made this transition. Let's have a look at how many people voted uncommitted against Biden in various states. President Joe Biden's on track to be the political nominee, but look at this, 90% of voters in Minnesota voted uncommitted. So in a sense, it's a campaign that's in serious trouble. But while we're talking about Super Tuesday, which I would say is very much front and center in the theater of American political life, deep state actors continue to call the shots. What I mean to say is, according to my conversation with Mike Benz, he regards the Ukraine-Russia war to be essentially a CIA operation. You can see that conversation, well, I guess it might be up on locals pretty soon. It's a very, very good conversation. And this is why you got to become an awakened wonder. This is why you got to become part of this movement, because you then get to put questions to people like Mike Benz this week, or last week he was putting a question to, who was it last week that we did? Rand Paul. And who have we got coming up? Bobby Kennedy. And who have we had? Vandana Shiva. This is about talking to people that are meaningful in the true debate about global power. Now, Victoria Nuland's name might not be one that's familiar to you. Let me know in the Rumble chat if you're familiar with Victoria Nuland. But between her and her husband, great caches of power have been consumed. She was a protagonist in the Iraq and Ukraine war. She's worked for various administrations on both sides of an aisle that seems increasingly less relevant. She's the third highest ranking, according to this headline, US diplomat, and she's obviously a critic of Russia's war in Ukraine. She's going to be retiring. Here's a little bio so you can understand what Victoria Nuland's about. Many of you now understand, as I am beginning to learn in part in thanks to our ongoing conversation, this is why these communities are so important, that deep state power is the real power. And Victoria Nuland and counterparts perhaps like Caroline Dynage in our country, who was significant in demanding the demonetization of our content after recent personal media attacks. And also like Caroline Dynage, Victoria Nuland is married to someone who has curious involvement in PSYOP. psyops, military psyops that have been turned against domestic populations, having been ostensibly designed to protect us from the threat of terror. Let's learn a little more about Victoria Nuland, a protagonist in the Iraq-Ukraine war. She served prominent roles under Obama and Biden, represented the US and at NATO for George W. Bush. She's a combative liberal hawk. That used to be a paradoxical statement, not anymore. During her time in government, she was consistently one of the most aggressive proponents of US backing for Ukraine and for NATO expansion. She was the primary architect of the 2014 regime change operation in Ukraine, which paved the way to the war we're in right now. She was the principal deputy national security advisor to then Vice President Dick Cheney. And remember that, Dick Cheney at the time was vilified. Remember that, Dick Cheney was, I mean, we've mentioned Darth Vader already today, but he was like a Sith in a cowboy hat, wasn't he? War. War is what we need, baby. Under the first 2 years of the, in the first 2 years of the Iraq War, then served as US NATO ambassador in Brussels in Bush's second term. Early cheerleader for Ukrainian membership of the alliance. Dun, 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 dun. As part of the Biden administration, Nuland has once again been a vocal hawk. The vocal hawk everyone expected. In recent months, she's been serving in an acting capacity as deputy secretary of, you've seen exactly what Victoria Nuland is capable of and what she is engaged in. But here are, in honor of her retirement, some of Victoria Nuland's greatest hits. First, biolabs. Are there biolabs in Ukraine? And do those biolabs only become dangerous when a Russian's there? It's like, you know, if a tree falls over in the forest and there's no one there, does it make a sound? Is a biolab dangerous? Only when Russians get their hands on it. Let's have a look.
Does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons?
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian troops, Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of.
It's a research facility when it's Ukrainian, but by some magical alchemy, once it's Russian, you're gonna have to hurry because it's a weapon of war, you see. She was also one of the first people to address the Nord Stream pipeline debacle. Let's have a look at that.
Senator Cruz, like you, I am, and I think the administration is very gratified to know that Nord Stream 2 is now, as you like to say, a hunk of metal at the bottom of the sea.
Nice. Good news, everyone. It's a hunk of metal at the bottom of the sea, and perhaps that's where Victoria Nuland's career currently resides. But it's quite likely you'll see her crop up at something like the Atlantic Council, one of those think tanks that tends to be funded by the military-industrial complex that transcends the kind of divisions that exist in the apparent debacle facade of bipartisan politics. And this is the kind of information that we get to discuss with the insider and articulator, Mike Benz. This is a little bit of a conversation I had with Mike Benz earlier today, talking about NewsGuard, an organization that ostensibly is there to fact check, but ultimately fact wrecks and is boarded and tooled up and occupied by former CIA employees. Check it out.
At the time, it was perceived that mainstream media might completely dissolve because all of these alternative media institutions were fast rising. They were making tens of millions of dollars in ad revenue. This was before the advent of the adpocalypse, so to speak, on YouTube, and of the rise of these censorship mercenary firms like NewsGuard. You know, NewsGuard is supposed to be this news credibility rating agency, and it's supposed to be about credible independent journalists started by a former Wall Street Journal, mainstream, credible journalists rating other journalists to make sure that advertising revenue doesn't go to fake news sites. Well, who's on the board of NewsGuard? Michael V. Hayden, the former head of the CIA, the NSA, and a four-star general. Anders Fogh Rasmussen, the former head of NATO. Rick Stengel, the former head of the Global Engagement Center at the State Department, who described himself as Obama's propagandist in chief. That's the segment of the State Department which coordinates directly with the media. So this is basically the dark heart of modern Operation Mockingbird at the State Department.
And what a dark heart it is. We are moving so nimbly now. We are acquiring information so easily. That's why you got to join our movement. Become an awakened wonder. If you're watching us on YouTube, we've got such fantastic content yet to come. We'll be talking about Rachel Maddow's demand that you pick one. We'll be telling you how you can get your hands on one of these glorious mugs for free, in addition to talking about the return of Christ. Is some kind of radical awakening precisely what's required to disrupt this apocalypse-addicted system that's controlling us all? If you're on YouTube, click the link in the description now. Get into that stream of freedom. Okay, guys, Pfizer's stock ain't doing so well, possibly because people are awakening and people ain't using their products. Let's have a look at this. It's in decline, significant decline. We asked you a little earlier, how much profit did Pfizer make between 2020 and 2022? And the answer is, of course, well, you all know the answer is $75 billion. We will get a couple of you from the Rumble chat and a couple of you from the Awakened Wonder chat. And I would like you to, if you're in the Rumble chat, you have to get in touch and send us your email so we can organize your prize. We'll tell you who's won it in a matter of moments. And remember, for now, 25% off of these things. And also, I'll tell you what else is going pretty cheap. It's shots, 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 shots. Here's Mandy Cohen advocating for yet more shots, 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 shots.
We need to see everyone get an updated flu shot and an updated COVID vaccine. We also shared on Friday that we expect and anticipate there's going to be an updated COVID vaccine coming this fall, right? So plan now, yeah. Right? It's March, so you can think ahead when you're going to get your flu shot in the fall. You're going to get another updated COVID vaccine. And the reason for it...
Plan now. This is the advice of the CDC. Start planning your shots. End the shots.
...is because this virus continues to change. That's okay. We can stay one step ahead of it. We have the tools to do it.
I'm not staying that far ahead of it, given that it doesn't stop infection, doesn't stop hospitalization. It's some distance behind it.
We just need to use them. So FDA, CDC has started that process just like we do with the flu shot. We've started that process to update the COVID vaccine already for this fall. And so we just want folks to, again, already start thinking about that.
Got to start thinking about it. Don't stop thinking about it. Don't stop thinking about it. Do you remember when we saw Mandy Cohen say that when they were making the decision whether or not to ban crowds at football games and stuff, she just said, oh, you know, I just phoned up one of my friends and asked them and they said that's what they were doing. They pretend it's like some sort of rational system based on judicial principles. But in point of fact, it's more akin to a cartel, a cadre of globalist elites governing nations, protecting themselves from the impact of your freedom rather than protecting you from any kind of threat. Is this on number 10, Gail, this particular one? Here's an interesting story where the Guardian legacy media outlet, yeah, here they are vaccinating people. This guy had 217 COVID jabs with outside of it. That's how's that the story? Do you know I had 217 COVID jabs and I didn't have any side effects? Why would you have 217 COVID jabs? In the story, he said it was for private reasons. What possible private reason could it be? Like, if you're taking a vaccine for any reason other than to protect you from a potential viral infection, then it's become an ideology rather than a medicine. And that is a dangerous thing. And on the subject of ideologies rather than medicines, we are going to be talking about recent MSNBC reporting on what is called democracy, but in a point of fact, is about the instantiation of ideologies. In a minute, we're going to be talking about Julian Assange. We've still had no news on Julian Assange's hearing, but we have had news on Buddy Boy Teixeira or Teixeira. I'm never quite sure how to say his name. He's that little lad that revealed an interesting cachet of important information and has just taken a plea deal to do 16 years, which is only about that old, for God's sake. It's astonishing. We'll be covering that in a moment, so stay with us for that. But I want to point out this to you. Rachel Maddow, under the pose of rationalism, legitimizes endless hysteria, amplifying endlessly the perceived threat of Trump, when in fact we don't live in a democracy anymore. When in fact politicians from across the political space globally advocate for endless war, don't give us any legitimate opportunity to oppose it. Whenever there are protests, my God, we're attacked and curtailed and shut down by an ever increasingly militarized police force. And what no one discusses, and what I think is more important important than anything is the spiritual crisis at the heart of our culture. We need something more than this. We deserve something more than this. There is something beyond this. That's why I think it's interesting when no less a voice than Joe Rogan, perhaps the political commentator, cultural commentator, and indeed cultural figure who defines American life in the way that Oprah Winfrey once did, says that nothing short of the return of Christ will save us now. All this, in addition to potential mugs, what more do you want from a stream? Here's the news. No, here's the effing news. See you in a second.
Thank you for choosing Fox News. Here's the news. No, here's the fucking news.
The attempts to thwart Trump using lawfare have not worked, causing Rachel Maddow to go into a spiral, saying that we need a magic spell or a magic wand, but there isn't one, so we just have to vote for Biden. Meanwhile, Joe Rogan says that we literally need the return of Christ to save our culture. So who is the real devil at work in our international psyche and in particular in American politics? Is it Donald Trump or is it the entire damn establishment? Rachel Maddow has simply said there's no magic wand that can stop Trump. The Supreme Court has been co-opted and bought out. The only way to stop Trump is to vote for Biden. She seems to neglect that this analysis, as well as urging us to take this course of action, neglects to mention or even observe that we are in a kind of global crisis, aren't we? With wars between Russia and Ukraine, an escalation of violence in Gaza that's stomach-turning to so many people in the world now, total loss of faith in Biden's administration, the feeling that we've just been mugged and hoodwinked by the pharmaceutical establishment. If it wasn't the opioid crisis, then many of the things that took place in the pandemic seem unreasonable. So is this urging to just hold your nose and shut your mouth and vote for Biden, who seems increasingly decrepit and hopeless, who's unable to keep his own promises and maybe even remember them, an indication that democracy itself is falling apart? Certainly the only card they're willing to play as we enter the white heat of election year is Trump is bad. Trump is bad. We've got some incredible journalism from Martin Gurry here, not to mention insights from Joe Rogan, who seems to suggest that we need nothing short of a kind of spiritual revolution, which is something we talk about on this channel a great deal. Not because we are harbingers or soothsayers, but because if you want a paradigm shift, if you're interested in genuinely new systems, you have to start considering new terrain, new territory, new psychic energy. So let's first of all have a look at Rachel Maddow's what seems to me like hysteria posing as rationalism. Then we'll get into Joe Rogan's sort of prophetic cry for the return of Christ. Literally, I'm not even joking. And then we'll look at Martin Gurry, the former CIA analyst who's been ahead of the curve on these matters for a long, long time. The first person that I heard observe, left and right's over now, it's periphery versus center. In a way, he's like the British filmmaker Al Curtis, one of those people who understands the broader, wider trend. So as we approach the white heat of an election, let's look at the key players and what's really required if we're interested in changing the world.
But I will just leave you with this.
Even the graphic says, pick one, pick one. Don't ask any questions. Don't query why you might be so miserable, why you might feel so abandoned in society, why there are all these escalating wars, why technology increasingly seems to be used to monitor and control a population. Just pick one. Isn't that the fundamental problem with neoliberal democracy? That it doesn't really offer you anything and then becomes hysterical when you refuse to cooperate, when you start to ask questions, when you start to doubt the veracity and necessity of all these ongoing wars, indeed their legitimacy, particularly after the wars we've experienced in our lifetime, Iraq, Afghanistan. And then when people are asking questions in real time about the wars that the United States in particular are currently one way or another through supply of weaponry or funding involved in, people just want to obfuscate that and reduce it to pick one, pick one. Well, a lot of people are saying, I know which one I'm going to pick, Donald Trump. And all their only answer to that is, ah!
There's no magic spell. There's no solution that is going to come, say, from the Supreme Court.
That also isn't the function of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court are meant to be the stewards of justice. People don't look to the Supreme Court and go, okay, hopefully these elderly people that are reassuringly diverse learned some Hogwarts stuff while they were wearing those outfits. It's meant to just be based on the law that's been written down by people. It isn't magic, and I don't think anyone expects magic from them.
They gave us that reminder today after last week. They made sure we knew it in the first place when they somewhat inexplicably took action to delay all the Trump criminal trials.
Rachel Maddow there unconsciously compressing the word crime and Trump into one portmanteau, because that's what the media are attempting to do, to look at Trump as criminal in the same way as they look at the domestic population as criminal, the same way they deploy terrorist technologies against domestic populations in your country and mine. Note furthermore that Rachel Maddow is quite willing to dismiss the highest court in the land as delegitimate as soon as it doesn't perform the function that the establishment wants it to perform. Isn't that the number one thing they criticize about Donald Trump? He's bad for our institutions. He doesn't respect law and order. Why? With his constant declaration of fake news, he ruined trust in the media. You can't do that. We're real journalists. We're serious. I went to a special school. We had wood paneled walls in the buildings where I went to school. How dare you say that? And what happens the minute the Supreme Court doesn't do their bidding? Fake justice. Fake justice don't mean anything. They can't do magic spells.
There is no magic spell.
So if the reason they hate Trump is because he's sort of uber or exterior to democratic institutions and procedures that are part of the heritage of the United States of America, and there's lots of books and it's all very important. If that's the problem with Trump, is that he's iconoclastic and clumsy and crass and brash, then why is it when Trump's ascendancy continues, primarily because he's an anti-establishment candidate and everybody hates the media and everybody hates the government, you can feel it, we all know it, and they're unwilling to do anything about it because they can't do anything about it, what do? They attack the institution. Oh, it's just the Supreme Court. Look at them, the bloody idiots. Fake justice. Fake justice. Either it's wrong to trash these institutions or it isn't. Now, I know where I stand on that particular subject, but I don't know where the establishment stand on it, because one minute they say, oh, the Capitol, it's sacred. You can't say that about the media. Joe Rogan doesn't wear a tie. They can't have it both ways, and yet they want to have it both ways because they've got no principles. They've got no argument. All they've got is Trump.
There's no magic wand coming to stop this thing.
Or policy change. All right, I can see these wars are a bit unpopular. Should we stop funding them? I can see a lot of you seem to be worried about this border crisis. Should we do something about that? A lot of you seem deeply concerned about the lack of infrastructure, entropy decay, increasing welfare inequality, the inability of the government to meaningfully regulate the defense industry, the inability of the Pentagon to pass its own audits, the inability of the FDA to regulate the pharmaceutical industry. Those are policies. That's not magic. That's something they could do. Oh, there's nothing we can do about the CIA lying and pre-bunking stories so the Hunter Biden laptop story doesn't capsize an election. Magic isn't what's required. Honesty is what's required. Integrity is what's required. Transparency is what's required. Policies that resonate with American people is what's required. If the Democrats can't see that Teamsters in the form of truckers for Trump turning up for the Republicans, even though the Teamsters have gone both ways over the years, but more latterly have generally been in support of Democrats, then they have to acknowledge they don't resonate or reach ordinary working people. And I can see why. Biden, I love the unions. I love black people. Where's the policies that support that? As soon as that train crashes in East Palestine, that it turns out was because of lack of expenditure on labour, lack of expenditure on sick pay, lack of expenditure on trains, and indeed, it creates an environmental disaster, which suddenly no one bloody well cares about, even though they bang on about climate change, as long as it can be utilised to keep you in your home. The problem with the Democrats is not Trump. The problem with the Democrats is the Democrats. And until they're willing to have that conversation, they're going to find themselves locked in a war with someone who understands the type of warfare that they're engaging in better than they do. And when they find themselves attacking their own institutions, which is precisely what they condemned Trump for, the hypocrisy is yet further exposed.
There's no, you know, magic beans that you can grow here that make some beanstalk take us away from all of this.
We get it, yeah, beans, magic spells, beanstalk. I understand, there's no magic. If the establishment has done one thing in my lifetime, it has stopped me believing in magic. You don't have to ring that bell any louder.
There's only one way out of this. Pick one. The Democratic Party has picked its nominee.
And there you have it. Once again, iterated, enshrined, and verbally espoused. They're saying to you, we're giving you this. Shut up and take it. Well, a lot of people are saying, no, I won't shut up and take it. I'll take this dude who's saying that he's going to dismantle the deep state. I'll take this dude that's saying he's going to mass deport people. By the way, a position on immigration that the Democrats have prevaricated on significantly and moved a lot closer to a Republican position, if the truth be told, in the last 4 years. So, apart without principles can't condemn a man without scruples just because he's winning.
Yes, it's an old guy who is doing practical, normal, and popular things as president and who has a lot to show for it.
Like there's that brilliant war in Gaza that's being militarily supported, and that fantastic war against a nuclear superpower in the form of Russia that everyone loves, and the endless provocation of China, the refusal to address the needs of ordinary Americans while continuing to ensure that wealth inequality continues. Just an ordinary guy doing ordinary business. What on earth's making this demagogue so appealing?
The Republican Party is pretty obviously picking their guy as well. also an old guy, who, for example, cannot say the word Venezuela.
Trump, who they condemn for being crass and brusque and infantile and juvenile, they are condemning now for mispronunciation of a polysyllabic nation and for trashing of institutions. Indeed, you can't win that fight because Joe Biden appears to be in mental decline, and perhaps the only argument you could offer is don't be unkind, don't say stuff. Well, they are willing to do that. The trashing of the institution stuff, they're obviously willing to do that, and they're clearly trying to nullify the ongoing criticism of Joe Biden, even from Democrat supporters, by saying, but Trump mispronounces things as well. Is that it? Is that your vision? Is that what you're offering the young people of America? Is that what people are going to come together around? And here it is, Joe Biden. He may mispronounce stuff, but so does the other candidate. That might not be enough to get people to the ballot box. Pick one. Pick one.
I'm picking this one.
Currently riding high on his party's abortion bans and measles curious virological denialist free associating.
Sorry, Rachel, what was that thing you said about the vaccines again and how effective they were? It was...
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person.
Rachel Maddow hasn't got a strong pedigree when it comes to the subject of telling the truth to her audience on the matter of vaccines.
He's trying to warm the American people up to the idea of just a little bit of dictatorship from him. And he's getting us ready to, you know, start building camps to hold millions. Because his advisors say the deportations start at noon on day one.
The wall that Trump built is continuing to be built by Biden. The cages that Trump was condemned for were installed by Obama. What is all this hysteria about? What is it? What is the point of difference that they want us to get whooped up about? Imagine for a moment that Donald Trump was in office now and he was supplying a nation with arms to practice a massacre, some would say, others would say a genocide. Imagine if Trump were involved in the ongoing support of Ukraine instead of putting all of America's considerable efforts and might into bringing about a diplomatic solution to a problem that could get a lot worse. If Trump was the candidate of war, you can bet your bottom dollar that all day long, this guy's a warmonger. He's crazy. Look at these images of children dying. This is disgusting. This is terrible. Imagine if it had been on Trump's watch that Aaron Bushnell, American airman, had set himself on fire in protest against wars that he felt he was expected to tacitly participate in, and maybe physically at some point in the future as they continue to escalate. That image will be everywhere. There'd be t-shirts, there'd be mugs. But can you see Aaron Bushnell on the internet? Someone has spent a lot of money ensuring we don't see that image for some reason. The point of difference is not distinct enough to warrant this hysteria. The truth is that the Democrats and the Republicans are much closer on the subject of immigration than they've ever been. Listen to this. Biden's immigration plans since he took office have been an extension of Trump's, particularly with regard to the southern border. Not content with aping Trump's policies, Biden was desperate enough for a win on immigration that he told Trump on a recent trip to Texas, "Join me or I'll join you," in fortifying the border and making it virtually impossible to apply for asylum. So Democrats have staked retaining the presidency on framing Trump as an existential threat to democracy. But if Trump is such a danger, why are Democrats ceding him so much political initiative? If Biden actually believes he presents the type of threat he and Democrats say he does, why is the president bending over backwards to enact legislation on Trump's signature issue? That's like a simple administrative and legislative matter that demonstrates that what we're listening to here is hyperbole. Pick one. Well, it seems that ultimately, in many significant issues, they're not as different as you are claiming.
The only way this decision will be made is by you picking one. By you volunteering and donating and campaigning and deciding it matters enough to you to not only vote, but to help your candidate try to win.
Their strategy, once again, is to whip up hysteria, panic and fear in their audience in order to create some sort of activism and engagement, when I think a lot of people are feeling quite disengaged, and understandably so, while groping around for policies that placate their acknowledged demographic and support base, like, for example, cancelling student debt. And there's an easy argument to be made that why not people who have trained in trades? Why shouldn't people in blue-collar jobs experience the same sort of benefits and advantages? Generally speaking, in the past, I would have thought it was a good thing for students not to be charged for their education. But is that an act guided by principle and righteousness, or is it a cynical attempt to buy voters? And I'd say it's probably the latter, given the obvious similarities between the two parties in a number of significant issues and the hysterical stance taken by their propagandist media outlet.
But the only thing that will stop them is Democrats winning instead. Period. Full stop. Thank you, United States Supreme Court, for the clarification, the campaign.
They're actually angry that the Supreme Court have gone, well, this isn't actually legal, and unanimously decided that it ought to be deferred. Oh, thank you, Supreme Court, for not joining in and supporting us and being partisan. Can you imagine the alternative? So what you get is indication after indication, demonstration after demonstration, that there are no principles at play, just partisan hysteria and bombast continually posing as rationalism. But when you actually scrutinize what you're discussing, again and again, the similarities outweigh the differences. If you truly want a different perspective, you have to turn to popular culture. And the figure that defines American culture now, in perhaps the way that Oprah Winfrey once did, is Joe Rogan. He is the defining media figure. His conversations are the conversations that move the needle in American life. And the left have already decided they don't like him and they don't want him. And he's an idiot. Why? Because of his free thinking, willingness to take responsibility for personal health, to have complex conversations about war, to listen to both sides of arguments. All principles that I grew up thinking, like, you know, when the left was Gore Vidal and James Baldwin, were the sort of things that we were supposed to be embracing. But now, the authoritarian left is just some sort of shrill nasal nut job nest. A figure like Joe Rogan might as well be Fred Flintstone. Let's have a listen to Joe Rogan saying that what's actually required in our culture is a meaningful spiritual shift. And indeed, how does that feel to you? Doesn't it feel like something significant has to happen? All the while people tell you, do you know your life's better than it ever was? Feels like a spiritual crisis is happening, doesn't it? Listen to what Joe Rogan's got to say.
But I think as time rolls on, people are going to understand the need to have some sort of divine structure to things, some sort of belief in the sanctity of love and of truth. And a lot of that comes from religion.
Seems like Joe Rogan's saying that materialism and rationalism are failing, and MSNBC and their likes are the last bastions of the kind of rationalism that peculiarly grew out of, like, the civil rights movement, or at least it seems to me, carried the mantle of ideas that were really cool and brilliant and necessary at the time, but have become somewhat atrophied and hollowed out, and now are just kind of husks. And what's needed is a revivification and libidinization of American political and spiritual life in order to stop it being just pick one. Pick one of these. We need a lot more. And what Joe Rogan ends up saying is we need nothing less than the return of Jesus Christ. Now, whether that's a physical return, and Lord alone knows I pray for it, or a return of Christ within yourself, within your own consciousness, is not yet clear. But certainly something significant must happen. And I don't just mean within you as an individual, but if it didn't happen within you as an individual, it wouldn't actually matter if it happened anywhere else, would it? But certainly it has to happen across the culture. And the fact that we're kept within such a narrow framework, I think, is telling. There is no magic beans. There are no magic beanstalks. There is no magic wand. There is no magic. Don't trust the Supreme Court anymore. Just get out there and vote for Joe Biden, even though on some of the most significant issues, Joe Biden is pretty similar to what the Republicans have previously done. And in some other areas, like ongoing global war, we're not willing to address it. And Joe Biden actually literally goes out of his way to avoid discussing it. And sometimes doesn't tell people where his public appearances are so that he doesn't have to be questioned about it, even though there's been 100,000 uncommitted votes in one primary alone. This is clearly something that even their own voter base want to talk about, whether it's through Marianne Williamson, a candidate that's being ignored, RFK, a candidate that just had to remove himself from the entire party, or Dean Phillips, who's being shut down. The Democrats don't want conversation. They don't want democracy.
A lot of people's moral compass and the guidelines that they've used to follow to live a just and righteous life has come from religion. And unfortunately, a lot of very intelligent people, they dismiss all of the positive aspects of religion because they think that the stories are mere superstitious fairy tales, that, you know, they have no place in this modern world, and, you know, we're inherently good and your ethics are based on your old moral compass and we all have one, and that's not necessarily true. We need Jesus. I think, for real. Like, if he came back now, it'd be great. Like, Jesus, if you're thinking about coming back,
right now?
Now's a good time.
I mean, that's a more inspiring message than pick one, isn't it? Like, return, please, Jesus Christ. And particularly if you consider what that might mean, is surrendering your own vanity and ego and sense that your knowledge is the only way that the world can be determined, which is precisely what I'm getting from the neoliberal establishment in the form of MSNBC there, is that there is no hope, that we know everything, that we know what Trump's going to do. Oh, the Supreme Court, forget those old fogies, those old fuddy-duddies. ooh-wee, they probably poo themselves in those robes. So a return of Christ, a return to meaningful values, a return to love and kindness and service and things that don't make sense in a world that seems to have lost all contact with those kind of values is precisely what's required. And here is Martin Gurry, former CIA analyst and author of the very influential book The Revolt of the Public, which described how the internet age meant that politics was going to be annihilated because there would be no place for centralized authority now that everyone was empowered to communicate and new affiliations would form on the periphery, as is happening in real time. You're seeing it everywhere as politicians from the right and pundits from the left and all sorts of peculiar triangulations are taking place. Martin Gurry was the first person that said this would happen. And here he's explaining why the hysteria around Trump is completely invalid. It's a brilliant piece. And coupled with what Rachel Maddow tells you to do, shut up and vote Biden, what Joe Rogan asked for, a return to, well, he says literally Jesus, spiritual awakening, you can put that into your own language. We can add to that this insight around why the neoliberal establishment are determined to portray Trump so negatively. And this makes a lot of sense to me. You'll like it. The word most often associated with Trump is authoritarian. From the New York Times, Atlantic and Economist to The Guardian, Vanity Fair and Politico, we are told with ritual repetition that Trump is the second coming of Hitler or Mussolini. Interesting, given the kind of language. He's being portrayed as a kind of demonic force, a kind of devil. But what is more demonic now? Isn't it politics itself? Isn't it these set of inert systems that seem incapable of serving us? An aspiring dictator eager to herd his opponent into great American gulag.
And he's getting us ready to, you know, start building camps to hold millions.
Naturally, people panic. I want to calm them down. They don't want you calm or sensible or rational. Using as few words as possible, I'm going to show that the combination of Trump and authoritarianism is impossible. Hello there, you awakening wonders. I am interrupting me in order to tell you something very important. It's a message on behalf of some of our sponsors. Are you ready to delve into the realm of self-care and spill the beans on a skincare gem that's as pure as honesty itself? In today's fast-paced world, we face skepticism towards authorities, uncertainty about product origins, and hidden toxins in everyday items causing significant and chronic stress. Do you know chronic stress can fast-track aging, leaving your skin looking old and wrinkly? Studies show that prolonged stress ramps up inflammation, breaks down collagen, and messes with the skin's defenses, all leading to premature aging. Enter Charlize, the antidote to life's toxins, and my number one toxic-free skincare pick. This luxurious skincare isn't just about appearances. It's about feeling good inside and out. This world may be toxic sometimes, but your skincare doesn't have to be. Most other skincare lines contain, I'm sorry to tell you this, cancer-causing ingredients. Not Charlize, though. The entire product line is toxic-free. That's what I love about it. By the way, Charlize products contain tangerine orange peel, which not only promotes immunity and enhances your mood. I mean, look at the mood I'm in. I'm crazy with glee. But it also promotes cell turnover, hydrates and cleanses the skin, and helps improve blood circulation. Better blood flow means more nutrients and oxygen are delivered to your skin, enhancing its natural glow and promoting healthier, younger skin. Are you ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery and luminous skin? Head over to charlize.beauty/brand and unlock a 25%, I can't even believe I'm saying, 25% discount with the promo code brand. That's charlize.beauty/brand, promo code brand to get that 25% off. Remember, my friends, trust, transparency, and self-care are the essential elements of a vibrant life. Choose Charlize and choose the path to inner and outer radiance together. Let's get back to our content. Support our partners if you can. Stay free. What kind of person becomes an authoritarian? Well, it may look like fun, but authoritarianism is really hard work. You need to be in the prime of your life, in your 30s or 40s. Lenin, Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler, Franco, Mao, Castro, we're all in that age bracket. Very rarely an exceptional person such as Caesar is granted literal dictatorship. The Romans invented the whole idea in his early 50s. In a clear case of ageism, however, no septuagenarian has ever been offered the job. Now, Martin Gurry turns his attention to the subject of January the 6th. Is Trump an authoritarian? Could Trump literally instill a dictatorship, as the neoliberal establishment are suggesting? Or is that an impossibility because of the very institutions that, in fact, Rachel Maddow is there decrying, like the Supreme Court and various other institutions and bureaucracies that are there precisely to ensure that a person doesn't go, excuse me, I'm in charge now, we're not going to have any more elections. That's actually, I don't think, possible within the American Constitution. Still, I know what some political depressives will be thinking, and they're wrong. January 6th was not an insurgency aiming to install Trump as chief authoritarian. In an insurgency, people with guns shoot at each other, and lots of them die. In the firefight to convert Augusto Pinochet into El Supremo, 3,000 Chileans died. That's an insurgency. On January 6th, only one person died, a young woman who was shot by a Capitol policeman while trying to break through a door into the House chamber. She was unarmed, as was the rest of the trespassing mob. There is no such thing as an unarmed insurgency. We are being continually presented with images that simply do not make sense, I believe, in order to simply augur ongoing establishment power and control and prevent us from demanding what we really should have, more direct and representational systems of government that are actually in the control of the people affected by them. As it continually says in the comments under there, there's nothing worse than having decisions made by people who are not affected by the outcome of those decisions. I might have got it wrong. Let me know in the chat. You won't hurt Trump by calling him authoritarian. He's like one of those bull elephant seals covered with a hide, inches thick and full of scars. Authoritarianism won't even reach his sensory apparatus. But tens of millions of Americans voted for the man. If you insist that Trump is an authoritarian, if you continue to maintain that he's the greatest threat ever to our democracy, then you're portraying these voters as goose-stepping bigots. They're continually doing that. That is one of the errors, I think, that has been made since 2016 in American political and media life. And you know full well that they're not. They're your family, friends, and neighbours. People in these categories may not be as reliably helpful as, say, a good dog, but only rarely are they involved in overthrowing constitutional norms. So relax. Trump is too old, too isolated, and too ADD to have a shot at dictatorship. And if he tried, the result would be comedy rather than tyranny. You still want to join the ranks of the anti-Trump resistance? Hey, that's wonderful. You want to do battle against authoritarianism? I'm there with you. Just don't mix up the two. I promise it will make you clearer of mind and healthier of body, and it will free us to begin to call our politicians by those vile names that actually fit. I admire Martin Gurry and his writing very deeply, and I think that what this article in fact points to is that there is a deliberate attempt to generate hysteria, because if you were calm and rational when looking at these issues, you would simply see there isn't much to get hysterical about. And what the neoliberal establishment media has to do is sort of grind enthusiasm out of you using colourful metaphors, even abandoning institutions that they claim to care about when it's convenient, in order to galvanise an audience that is radically losing interest. In fact, once again, it's Joe Rogan who has a clearer understanding of what's required politically and cultural in American life, and that is a return to values. You may not be a Christian, you may not even be religious, but surely what we can all agree on is that there's some consistent values and principles are precisely what's required to bring America together, even if that means decentralizing America. That what we require is a focus on the issues that actually affect people, particularly people that are dying right now across the world, in order to perpetuate an economy that requires war in order to sustain itself, and nobody's allowed to discuss it. And this guy that we're told by MSNBC is business as usual and doing a great job is ignoring that, facilitating that, and not addressing that. So yes, I think we do need a return of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm praying for personally. And we need clarity, honesty, open-mindedness, and real alternatives in the political space. Where shall we look for them? Let's talk about it together. Is it Trump? Is it RFK? Is it Marianne Williamson? Is it Cornel West? I'd certainly like to see some new independent movements challenging these old institutions. But that's just what I think. Let me know what you think in the chat. See you in a second.
Now, here's the fucking news.
Well, what do you think? Why don't you tell me what you think, Orange Tosh? These pieces from MSNBC and CNN have nothing to do with objectivity, debate, or journalism. It's always one-way propaganda delivered by between one and five people who are all on the same team. Utis 814, but the return of Christ is the end of the world. Red Zephyr 05, not saying Trump is a tool of the elites, but he's the right egotistical person to play right into their drama of manipulation. That's there in the Awakened Wonder chat, and we're going to be there for an additional 10 minutes after the show. Bear, you are not supposed to eat those treats. That is how I control you, the way that the elites control our information. Recovering Wanker says simply, Gareth Bear 2024. That's the dream ticket. That is the dream ticket. 420 Beardy, crackpots talking about magic beans. Earthlight Promotions. Yeah, what about Hawaii for those environmentalist Democrats? Yeah, good point, isn't it? Paul Schrober says, vote Biden. He can pronounce Venezuela. Just a few of the fantastic comments from a wonderful and growing and very powerful community. And those of you that won mugs,
Stephen, 75 on Locals, your mugs are coming. MZen, your mugs are coming. And those of you on Rumble, you've got to get in touch with us and email us, Canadian Beaver Fever, saucy, and Starla Z, so we can send these mugs to you. Remember, the rest of you can get 25% off, and we've got merch coming every single week, as well as another 10 minutes coming up on Locals. Your dog has you trained. When he begs, you think treats. No, Grammar Yannon, I the boss of him. He ain't the boss of me, I the boss of him. Now, I'll tell you who is the boss of releasing information. It's Jack DeShera, to share a bit of top secret information and send the establishment into a spiral. What you might not remember about Jack DeShera, who's just taken a plea deal and is going to do 16 years in prison, is that the New York Times were integrally involved in his arrest. Doesn't that strike you as somewhat astonishing? I mean, is that what the New York Times is supposed to be doing? Aren't they supposed to be reporting all the news that's fit to print, not participating in the deep state arrest of a young 16-year-old, no, he's 22, kid. 16-year-old, 22, 22-year-old kid. I mean, come on, New York Times, what's going on?
A Massachusetts Air National Guardsman pled guilty today to leaking a trove of classified military documents. According to a signed plea agreement,
Look at him. He can't go to jail. He's adorable.
22-year-old Jack DeShera accepted a prison sentence of 16 years. He pled guilty to all six counts he faces and agreed to give back any sensitive materials that he may still have.
That's weird, isn't it? Like, agreed to give back the materials. I mean, that's almost goes without saying. He's not going to be clinging on to that, is he? Someone says there that I'm that Bear is the puppet master, and I am merely his tool. That's simply untrue.
DeShera was accused of abusing his security clearance and posting classified documents on social media sites. He allegedly revealed the type of military equipment the U.S. was prepared to give Ukraine and how that equipment would be transferred.
Carl Rhino, stop spamming. I see you there. Listen, I think what's pretty significant is while dear buddy boy Teixeira is all on bang-up, Julian Assange's hearing has still not returned a verdict on whether or not he will be able to appeal against his extradition to face, I think it's like 1 million years in jail or something. Here's Germany's Chancellor Scholz speaking out, saying, "I'm of the opinion it would be good if the British courts granted him the necessary protection because he has to expect prosecution in the US, given the fact he's betrayed American state secrets." Let's have a look at some facts about our man, buddy boy Teixeira, that I find quite surprising. Check this out. The New York Times publicly identified the individual who allegedly leaked Pentagon documents exposing US government lies about the Ukraine war, leading to his arrest. So once again, he's another of those figures that's embarrassed the state. And another one of those figures where the legacy media has been complicit, in this case extraordinarily, in his arrest. The documents Teixeira released caught the US government red-handed in systematically lying to the public in waging an undeclared war against Russia in Ukraine. That's why the poor kid's in jail. The documents showed that, contrary to false claims by the Biden administration, NATO troops are on the ground in Ukraine. NATO is directly involved in the war. And now we've got more troops, haven't we? We've just found out the British troops are there now. And Ukrainian military is in a far worse position than presented by news reports. These documents have exposed not only the US government, but the New York Times and the Washington Post as liars, as well as extraordinary agents of the state conducting weird arrests like Scooby-Doo and his pals. For the Times to publicly take actions that led directly to the arrest of a source of information vital to the public interest marks a milestone in the degeneration of the American press into an appendage of the state. Anyone with information exposing criminal wrongdoing by the government cannot go to the New York Times, Washington Post, or any other major US outlet for fear of simply being handed over to the police or the FBI. So now you know whose side they're on. Of course, recently they revealed information about CIA bases being in Ukraine for the last 10 years, astonishingly, and within the article, they admitted that they have access to information that they don't relay until it's convenient or useful to state interest. And this is one of the aspects of the conversation that we covered with Mike Benz. It's a conversation that's up now for our Awakened Wonders on Locals, and you will love it. You're going to become more and more educated and awakened by becoming a participant in our community. And indeed, we're going to do another 10 minutes there right now. We've got some extraordinary stories to continue to cover, as well as Rachel Maddow on Nikki Haley. We'll be talking about MSNBC on Virginia immigration. And I want to welcome some of our new members on Locals, like Semaj, Popmaster 109, Sarge Corey, Whitney CJ78, and Karen Cox. job. So if you want to join us over there, post the link, team members. You can jump right over there now and get involved in a fantastic conversation. Just when you get there, introduce yourself in the chat. You're going to make some wonderful new friends and have a lovely time. Join us tomorrow, not for more of the same, but for more of the different. Until then, if you can, stay free. Switch on, switch off, switch on, switch off, switch on, switch off.